point that we need to band together on issues. We will always have different views and opinions about the different matters, you know, but it's critical that we work together on national issues.
Yes, and exactly. We are thankful for your participation in town hall, because I think sometimes with the Haymans, when they hear it from someone outside, they kind of listen more than when they hear it from someone who grew up with them, who they know. So we are looking forward to that. Out of your presentation, the two events we had with you speaking about leadership development, that can help us go forward to understand we have to take this into our own hands. If we want to see this go forward, it's up to us. You know, one of the things that impressed us when you spoke to the commission is that even without legislation, Barbados has achieved much through the NGO.
Right.
And that's what the NGO is about, you know. And the funny thing to me is that we sometimes forget that we are the largest minority group, with at least 15% of the nation's population, and in the Bahamas, it's probably more, you know, and maybe similarly in the Caribbean, because our diet, and we have these diseases such as diabetes and stuff, and hypertension amongst our community, you may be a bit higher than 15%. You know, we have enough people to come together to push government, to push leaders to understand we are important. We are part of every fabric of the society.
Would you say that having the legislation from 2014 to present has made great changes in the Bahamas? Equal opportunity?
No, it has made small changes, because this problem is not so much if you look at the big picture. Passing legislation was difficult. It took about 20 plus years. But that wasn't the greatest problem. The greatest problem is actually changing the mindset of our community. We still have people thinking that the best for a person with a disability is stay home and watch cartoons or watch Cartoon Network. We still have people who hide their family members who have disabilities. Now, the legislation has made that illegal, which is great. But people still do that. And that's a challenge, because then they miss out on whatever the government does have available for the development of that person. The legislation has brought some changes, let's say. Much more to come. We are in the process of making some amendments to that same legislation that we think is needed drastically. Like, for example, we think some of the fines need to be increased. People can understand. Many times people don't understand and got to hit them in their pocket. One of the biggest challenges we have here is accessible parking. We generally in this country don't respect it, but when we travel to other countries, the same person who respect a law in the United States, like it's their law and they live there. But when they're here, they will park there and be like, oh, I'm only here for a short time, I'm going to leave in 2 seconds. You may be here for a short time, but if someone comes in with a disability, they can access the same building because you're parking the spot that belongs to them.
Right.
And it's not about giving someone a better opportunity than you, because it's closer to the door. All we're trying to do is level the playing field or bring equality. Because someone who has a mobility issue, the long distance to walk is a problem.
Yes, it's problematic.
Trying to get on some of our sidewalks is difficult. So trying to make it a bit easier. And one of the things that I am now trying to push and the commission is that we need to understand the powers we have as persons with disabilities. For example, when I was in the NKDP, we had a symposium put on, and we had some people out of Florida come, and one of the gentlemen who was in charge of the Broward Independent Living Facility, he went to one of the hotel facilities, and he noticed that he didn't see anyone who worked there who similarly had a disability. And he made a comment to us that we need to learn to vote, let's say, with our money. If we have finances, when we have any event, we need to make sure and ensure we only do business with organizations, businesses that make allowances for persons with disabilities who have the accessible facility. We have to make our presence seen and heard and known. And many times people don't understand no issues unless hit them in the pocket. You know, just as individuals, it's the same way. If they see they're not making money from the disability sector, they will have to listen and make some changes.
Well, Townsley, as time is beginning to Shorten with us. Tell us about your career, because you were an accountant. Tell us about moving into that space.
Some accounting on the side. I do more advocacy work now. But one of the things, I look at things that everything happens for good reason. When I lost my leg at 5 years old, a reality hit, even at a young age. Most of my classmates, the male specifically, they all looked at construction work as a backup plan. They didn't do well, or many days they didn't care. They all know they could do construction work. I had to realize I had a better chance of surviving, feeding myself by going the route of academics. So math is one of my strong suits. Originally, I actually was more into IT at the time when I first went to college, and actually accounting, but they didn't offer programming the degree that I wanted. So I ended up majoring in accounting and data processing.
Okay, nice.
And there I jumped off, which I still do a lot of stuff with IT, because even I worked for a company for 20 years that owned fast food restaurants, mainly Popeyes, Chicken, Wendy's, and Marco's Pizza. So I did more accounting there, even though I dabbled a bit in helping those in IT with issues with the computer. But on the side, I did computer repair. I did some corresponding course in IT. And so I was able to build computers and do IT work. And then I got a liking for graphics and Photoshop and stuff like that. So I do that also in the traffic. And participate and help with the commission sometime and making flyers or whatever they need me to do. Because as I get older, I realize, yes, I like numbers, but I don't like them as much as I used to. And I find that my passion is moved more towards helping others. So I still do accounting. And like I said, I worked at that company 20 years, and I worked for 3 years working for a company like the Bahamas Red Cross that actually is a humanitarian company, business organization. So I ended up doing, I was the finance officer there for 3 years, but I also did the logistics, and I was a part of every event they did, outreach, everything they did, I had to be involved with. Whenever, especially if any money involved, the finance officer had to be there. So I had to be a part of every event they had, and I kind of enjoyed that part of the business where more than sitting in the office, you just crunch your numbers, but outreach and meet people.
Right,
and feeling what they're feeling and seeing what they're feeling. And that's the kind of gravitate towards now, is that even though I can sit in the background and help preventing them, when you see face-to-face how you effectively helping somebody in need, and then you get to speak to the person. Like I remember on our Red Cross Day, I think it's May 8th, in 2019, last year, I actually went out with our Youth on Wheels team. As the first time we've been out with them for the entire day, we went to individual houses. And even then, I ran into people who I have never, for the time I've been involved with disability, never known about these persons, and they're not part of any organization, and many of them have disabilities.
Right.
So I met persons who have a need just far beyond just needing a meal from the Red Cross, but needing adaptive equipment, needing counseling, just needing someone to talk to.
Yes. It's really critical to be out there, you know, as you said, from the grassroots level, really touching people's lives. Because essentially that's what you're doing when you do a visit or when you have a telephone call, and allowing them to really feel someone else cares and is interested in their own well-being and development.
Exactly. And I think what really did it for me when I had people who found where I work and called me and just out of the blue was like, Robert, thank you for what you're doing. He was like, who are you?
Right.
Like, you see me on TV, we hear you. Thank you. Thank you for talking about things that persons don't like to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I just did an interview on Monday, and we were telling us the national television and radio station, and the gentleman, one of the important journalists, Lloyd Allen, I met him at a University of Bahamas men's conference last year, And one of the topics we spoke on, which people tend to ask me a lot, is that the issue of sex and disability. People outside of disability have this weird perception that if you are disabled, you must be asexual. And they don't want to touch the subject. But it's a reality. Dating and sexuality, it's the issue of disability. And we have to not be afraid to talk about these things and to address these things, because many persons go into these challenges. And I guess, unfortunately, people about they trust me sometimes, and I meet them on Facebook, and they come to me and they say some stuff that is shocking sometimes. And then, you know, I realize they got no one to talk to. They're afraid to speak to the parents. The parents don't understand.
Yes, you're doing a great job, and I want to commend you and all the commissioners who are working at, you know, making sure the legislation, your Equal Opportunities Act, becomes a reality, a practical reality for Bahamians living with disabilities, as well as their family members and their friends, caregivers, who are working with them. And I also want to commend all the organizations in the Bahamas, the National Council for Persons with Disabilities, Disabled People's Organizations, all the agencies for the blind, the deaf, the Intellectually Challenged, H1, who is playing a significant role in helping to develop disability in your country. I want to say a special shout out to Dr. Carolyn Hall Knowles, Miss Bonnie Brady Johnson, right? Yeah. Dr. Anthony Hamilton, Mr. Lester Ferguson, Anton Monroe, Kevin Cartwright, and so many others who have not only made me welcome while I was in the Bahamas last year, but who have also participated in a very meaningful way in the development of disabilities. So, it really has been a pleasure talking with you, and at some point, we will connect again where we can continue to have a productive dialogue around disability.
Yes, ma'am, and thank you.
Counseling, what would you say is one of your fondest memories of being part of the disability movement?
I would have to say the fondest memory was the day when we were in Parliament and the legislation passed unanimously. And one day, it was the first, maybe the only act I've known of that actually passed the House with no problems in one day.
Both sides of the whole actually
voting for it, and they didn't even need a full day to debate it. And
wonderful.
I'd like to also thank you and every person that I've been meeting to help, because all of us help each other. I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I learned from everybody. We all have similar countries, and we learn from each other. What works best for you, you can adopt and work and use it here. So, thank
correct,
you.
Correct. You're most welcome, and thank you very much for sharing so openly and candidly with me as well.
Thank you, Barbados, for letting me on.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby, and today my special guest was Mr. Tongsley Roberts from the Bahamas, as he shared about his life, his work, and his contribution to disability development in the Bahamas. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or via STARCOM 1-246-430-7300 and through email visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That is visionsbarbados@gmail.com. Remember to listen to this and past episodes on the VOB929.com website. Look for the Visions podcast and you can have your fill of past episodes. So until next week, stay safe and be productive.